Last weekend, over 200 people of various religions and ethnicities attended the Springfield Prayer Vigil. It honored the lives lost in Paris and San Bernardino. Muslim youth opened by singing the U.S. national anthem. Speakers included a rabbi, a Christian minister, and members of the Islamic Society of Greater Springfield. Ali Nizamuddin is president of the board there. He welcomed the crowded room where most people sat shoeless on the floor. He brought some levity.
It was my idea that everyone have chairs, but I was overruled. The organizers wanted you to experience an Islamic prayer.
Things quickly took a more serious turn, though.
When we stereotype people, place collective guilt for the actions of a few, then we undermine the American creed. And when politicians and demagogues talk about universal ID cards and databases and surveillance, things that the Nazis did so as to mobilize their base, then what does it say about our society?
Politicians came to show support, and they contributed to the theme of tolerance. However, political rhetoric is helping fan the flames of Islamophobia in the wake of violent acts by extremists. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump has magnified his presence in the national media spotlight by saying perhaps no Muslim should be allowed into the country at all. Illinois GOP Governor Bruce Rauner, who said he would not allow Syrian refugees into the state after the Paris attacks, says Trump's idea is too extreme. However, Rauner did tell reporters earlier this month,
I have asked the Obama administration to take a pause in our acceptance, our welcoming of refugees from Syria and Iraq, while we get a handle on our communication of who's coming, what checks have been done. My number one priority is to keep the people of Illinois safe.
Mohammed El-Hidi is a Muslim business owner in Champaign-Urbana who has been targeted because of his ethnicity, and not just in the U.S. Last month, he says he was visiting family in Iraq and decided to stop in Rome with his daughter on the way back to the States. He says they were approached by airport security several times. While at the gate, he and his daughter were searched for a fifth time.
At that moment, she started crying because it exceeded the limit to be safe. Now it's become kind of insulting.
Once they reached America, though, El-Hidi says that type of treatment ceased. Though overall he has faced some discrimination living in Illinois, he says it's been a good place to call home. After his brother in Iraq was kidnapped and killed by radical extremists, sympathetic cards from people he didn't even know poured in. He says the community is supportive.
They helped me to keep my business. They love my family. They love my children.
However, Islamophobia is quantifiable. Writer Mark Potok is with the Southern Poverty Law Center. He points to a study from earlier this year that says nearly 30% of Americans believe ISIS represents true Islamic religion.
Most Americans understand very, very little about the actual tenets of Islam, but they believe they know a good deal more than they do.
Potok has written about how hate crimes against Muslims increase following ISIS attacks and could very well rise again in 2015. Concern over that trend led to the Interfaith Service. Reverend Sarah Isbell of the Chatham United Methodist Church was among the speakers. She doesn't want her religion to be defined by intolerant Christians in the public eye.
Those people do not speak for me. They may claim the same religion, they may claim the same God, but their words and deeds are about hate and violence and prejudice, and they do not represent me.
As the vigil wrapped up, the entire room broke into song, one that had been a staple in the civil rights movement, "We Shall Overcome." I'm Rachel Otwell.